Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillings and Brad Forsythe.
Hey, thanks for dropping by here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com, The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. David Vinjamari is our special guest today. We'll bring David on here in just a little while. David's hanging out in Manhattan this weekend, and he's also author of Accidental Branding. There's an accidentalbranding.com website that we'll tell you a little bit more about as we get into this first segment. A lot of good stuff, too, to come your way today. It is Patrick Meyer, our marketing insider, out of New York as well, talking about Buzz. A little bit later on in the program, Jeannie Bliss's The Customer Experience, Patience, and the Customer. That goes hand in hand, hopefully, and sometimes it doesn't. So we'll find out what she's talking about. And how are you doing, Brad?
Well, I'm doing great. And by the way, you've become, I guess, very casual with Jean Bliss. You're calling her Jeannie now, so that's nice.
Yeah. She pops out of the bottle and she does her little little segment and...
Yeah, that's true. You know, I don't know if you saw this recently, but apparently ABC is set to announce that its late night Jimmy Kimmel live broadcast will integrate live commercials into each episode of the program. The first live commercials, Ray, are expected to begin
in May. The technique is a throwback to the early days of TV when programs were produced live and advertisers often sponsored shows in their entirety. The practice went out of vogue in the 70s when most programs were taped and had multiple advertisers. You're next.
Well, you and I are going to have to quit reading the same publications here. You know, what was interesting, I thought, is that when you think about live commercials back on the late night talk shows, you immediately think of Carson, and Alpo would be a real good example. And, you know, I think what happens when you think about live commercials, and we can still remember we old enough can remember that Carson used to do an Alpo, and here we're still remembering some of the brands. And I think the idea here is to, and I think it's a good idea, frankly, to, you know, a way to beat out the DVR issues and beginning to integrate the product into the content of the show. And it can really, I think, do a great job of connecting with the consumer in a more lasting way than a lot of these spots do. And so, hats off to the ABC and Kimmel to go back and return to the live approach. And I think it's going to be well embraced, and I think you're going to see more and more of that on late night TV.
Yeah, and it was last May, about a year, almost a year ago, Garmin was on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. That was the first live commercial on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno in 14 years. And, of course, you and I also remember a lot about some of the, going back to television back in the 50s and the 60s as well, where you had live stuff going on. It really is a cool and a really neat departure from what we normally might see on television. I think it's kind of cool. No cigarette ads, though, Brad. That just isn't going to happen, right?
Right. Well, along the lines of my doctor recommends that you smoke Lucky Strike.
Exactly.
Remember those days? And then they had athletes, DiMaggio and others, that were saying, I smoke this brand or that brand. Very
strange. Back then they believed that as well. Have you seen the new VW commercials as well? Volkswagen has brought back a class. And I know you like the Beatles. This probably looks like a 1960 or earlier Beetle, and it's basically they're abandoning the strategy of running multiple brand messages, instead moving to a uniform one that'll be integrated into all media for all models, basically. And this is like a little television interview program, and this particular one featured in this article from Ad Age, Heidi Meets Max. Will the 1964 Beetle become the new lovable brand icon? Oh, 64, it says. Okay. I drove one of those when it was new. Wait a minute. And it was one that wasn't easy to drive. Basically, what they're saying is VW brand spent $170 million in measured media last year, and that was Crispin Porter, Bogusky out of Miami, which has created some of the most talked about car ads for Volkswagen in 06 and 07. Safety Happens. I thought it was a great ad. Get to Know Your Fast, Unpimp Mine Auto, and Low Ego Emissions. All of the approaches created under the baton of Kerry Martin, Director of Brand Innovation of VW, basically who left the automaker in 07, less than 3 years. Her position hasn't been filled, but they do have a new commercial. And it's kind of a neat little commercial as well. I'm not sure how it's going to fit all of the segments of who they're trying to go after, but it is kind of cool to see a change of pace like that.
Well, you know, it wasn't so long ago, Arnold, back when they revived the Beetle, Arnold Worldwide made a name for themselves on that one client many years ago. And I say made a name for themselves. They really, really did a lot to elevate their agency. And then Bogusky has done a great job. And when actually their work for Mini Cooper when they first launched that is what parlayed to the Volkswagen business. So agencies out there that may be up and coming and you're wondering how to make a name for yourself, hook yourself to a difficult branding opportunity.
And
to
then create a win. What a concept, huh? Patrick Meyer, who's had a series of wins over the years here, is our marketing insider. And today he's talking about buzz on the Advertising Show.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
The secret to buzz in 2008 is about three things. The first is the nugget, the second is the echo, and the third is gearing it for new technology. The nugget is a compelling piece of news value, something that's so intriguing you have to share it with your friends. iPhone when it was coming, great example. The second piece is the echo. Once you've got the nugget, how do you put it out there and then allow it to have an echo? Putting out a piece of video that you can bounce around to your friends. It's either funny, sexy, whatever, but you want to share it with your friends. That's planning for the echo. When you get an article writing about a restaurant or brand new beer or wine, take that, put it online, put it on your website, send it out digitally, put it in blogs. That's planning for the echo. Then the last piece is gearing it for current technology. 10 years ago, when we were experts on buzz, we were doing it with key influencers, getting one person to talk to another person, to a whole peer group, and all the way out. Well, now, with a buddy list, with instant message, with text, with email, with video that you can send out as e-clips to your friends, you can reach out and hit 50 people with a stroke of your return button. So as a brand, you have to make sure you're putting stuff out in a digital form that's easy enough for people to bounce around. So, my friends, when you go forward and you think about news value, you think about word of mouth, and you think about the echo, build it into your plan. Make sure you've got PR, publicist, and you've got news value that you're building into your whole plan that you can then spin out and echo it all across the year.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Thank you, Patrick Meyer, on The Advertising Show. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth. David Vinjamari is our guest today, founder and president of Third Way Brand Trainers, a leading brand marketing training company, and adjunct instructor of marketing at the New York University. David has over 18 years of marketing and management experience. He started his marketing career at Johnson & Johnson, and later worked for Coca-Cola and DoubleClick. He's also a graduate of Swarthmore College and the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy, so that we know he's a sincerely honest man. I like that. David writes and speaks frequently on marketing. He is an editor and lead reviewer for Third Way Advertising, the blog, Ad Age Power 150 blog. He's been the featured guest lecturer at the Queen Mary II and quoted in major periodicals, including Business Week, Publishers Weekly. And the book that we're talking about today, amongst other things, is called Accidental Branding, How Ordinary People Build Extraordinary Brands. It's as compelling with a lively flavor that goes down better than any list of dry strategies. That sounds like that was pulled from a Coke ad. You know what I mean? So anyway, we got David out of Manhattan joining us for a few segments today on The Advertising Show. Look forward to that.
Yeah, published by Wiley. It's a great book, and as any listener of our show for any time knows, that if we have an author on our show, it passes the smell test, and it's a worthwhile book, or we wouldn't have them on. Because we do receive a lot of unsolicited publications from a number of publishers out there, and those that are good, like Cream Rising to the Top, we have those authors on. So really looking forward to today's interview.
Yeah, right, that's coming up here in just a moment with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show powered by Shipple.com and a platform called Tendency. Ed Shipple and his gang do a great job for us. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L on The Advertising Show.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillen and Brad Forsyth.
It's the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, and our very special guest out of Manhattan this weekend, David Vinciamori, author of Accidental Branding. AccidentalBranding.com is the place, and it's no accident that David is here today because it's a great book, right? David, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and before we talk about your book, David, let's talk a little bit about Third Wave Brand Trainers. Explain what you do, David.
Yeah, this is a company that I started about 4 years ago with some friends who are also former brand managers from big packaged goods companies. And our idea was to specifically do brand marketing training for people who were starting their career the way that we had started it in big corporations. So now we train at companies including American Express and Starwood Hotels. And we basically teach both basic skills of brand marketing as well as things like new media, podcasts, blogs, etc.
And you teach that to who?
We teach this to corporate brand managers primarily.
Yeah, right. And do you do that in groups, one-on-one? How do you do that?
It's mostly in groups of around 20. That seems to be about the optimal number. If you get under 10, the energy is a little bit low, and if you get over 20, it's hard to really be listening to the problems that individual people are having, understanding stuff.
And you do this seasonally? You have dates each per year, a number of training programs that you conduct?
Yeah, it varies per client, but for instance, with American Express, we go in, we train about 120 marketers there, which is about a third of their domestic marketers, and we go in four times a year for about 2 days total each time to train groups of them.
And I would assume each client has particular goals that are unique to them for training purposes?
Yeah, absolutely. They're very different, and the training is actually customized to the individual client and to their issues.
Yeah, as Ray mentioned in reading your bio, you began your career at Johnson & Johnson and also Coca-Cola. Did having an insider's view, David, into such large corporations change the way you looked at brand marketing?
Well, I think so, because I sort of grew up in probably at what you call the end of the old school, where we had been, you know, doing TV, radio, print, and then promotions, trade and consumer promotions the same way for more or less 20 years. And right at the end of my stretch in corporations, when I was at Coca-Cola, things started to change. And when I moved on to the Internet with DoubleClick, that was the beginning of a very big shift in how consumers spent their time.
And what year was that, just to get a sense?
I moved on to the Internet with DoubleClick in 2000.
Okay.
And I started
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I started Third Wave Brand Trainers in 2004.
Yeah, so you were just, you were a part of the bubble and the bust. Well, that's an interesting time. An interesting time we were all a part of.
That's an interesting way to put it, too, Brad. Yeah.
The first sales meeting I went to with DoubleClick, I was brought in to run this group that was basically going to do acquisitions around online promotions. And about 3 weeks into the job, I went to the sales meeting, and at the end of the night, Kevin O'Connor, the founder, and Kevin Ryan, and this bunch of other senior managers were naked in the pool in Florida. And I just thought, it's good to be here at this moment, although I don't want to be in there with them.
Yes. And fortunately, that wasn't part of the prerequisite to join up.
That's a
that
Kodak
firm.
Moment, yeah.
Yeah, and now with Web 2.0, I can't get Ray out of the swimming pool. I won't get into what he's wearing, but
nothing.
You know, let's get into your book. What sparked you, David, as far as your interest and drove you to write this book? And also, give us a sense of who you wrote this book for.
The book came out of a class that I was teaching at NYU in the summer of 2005. It was a positioning and brand development. I had a group of students. I teach at the School of Continuing and Professional Studies at NYU, and it's a little unique because it's like a continuing ed school, but because it's right in Manhattan and because it's associated with NYU, what you actually get is a lot of working professionals from Fortune 100 companies, but people without MBAs, a lot of whom have come internationally or come through other sort of other ranks. And they were sort of, I'd say they were a little intimidated about the marketing career because they were working alongside Kellogg and Wharton and Harvard MBAs, and they were in environments where there was a very special language that they didn't really understand. And my thought was I wanted to give them an exercise for the class that would give them a little hope. So I asked them to each write a paper about a brand that had been started by somebody who was not an MBA and didn't have a marketing background. I sort of expected to see something about Steve Jobs and Apple and something about Howard Schultz taking hold of Starbucks and something about other very large, well-known brands that we know were started by entrepreneurs. But what I didn't expect was a paper about a woman named Roxanne Quimby. And my student who actually wrote the paper knew her best friend had gone to school with Roxanne's daughter, had gone to college with Roxanne's daughter. And a couple of things that she said in this paper really sort of startled me, which is that Roxanne had been living in a tent in the woods in Maine with her five-year-old twins at the time that she started the brand, that she was working part-time as a waitress and was actually hitchhiking when she met Bert the Beekeeper. And none of that had actually been reported at the time that I heard it. So I just thought, wow, that's a great story. And, you know, is there something that I could learn from looking at a bunch of these brands? And ultimately it led to the question of, do they do things different from corporate marketers?
Yeah, and you pride yourself in saying that no Ivy Leaguers, in fact, most all of your entrepreneurs you cite as examples have never graduated from college. And I'm curious, did you purposely showcase this group staying with that idea you just described?
Yeah, my idea was, what if you look at people who really don't know what they're supposed to do, and from a group of thousands of startups, you pick the ones that were actually very successful and they built very huge brands, and you see if they did things in common. And if they did things in common, does that mean that it's sort of like the Darwinian answer to what works in marketing as opposed to the Procter & Gamble, Kellogg School, you know, MBA tradition answer of what works in marketing?
Yeah, and you did find certain common threads, if you will, that were running throughout all of these entrepreneurs. And we're going to jump into some of those details next segment. I'm curious, when you talk to these entrepreneurs about getting into business, you mentioned about how trusting your gut and knowing that a customer, really looking at yourself as the customer and saying, are you filling a value to your brand that you might be developing? And that's a great way to kind of give, I guess, a litmus test as to whether you should go forward with that idea or not. And we're going to jump even into greater detail about that. And again, the rules that you discuss in your book about what all accidental marketers have to follow to be successful. And I guess we'll just hold that till next segment. All right.
Well, I think that's very good. I think it's a grand idea. Here at the Advertising Show, Accidental Branding, accidentalbranding.com. You can find out more about that. David Vinciamari out of Manhattan, our special guest here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Hope you're enjoying it. Stick around if you are. I hope you are.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You're like no other babe ever born.
You're fabulous, babe.
You know how to reach out and show your love, babe.
You're fabulous, babe.
Yes, it is indeed the Advertising Show. Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. David Vinciamori out of Manhattan, author of Accidental Branding, accidentalbranding.com. And you got to get the book. What can I say? David, pleasure to have you here. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, David, you say in your book, if you have a vision and understand what would provide value, that this can be enough to pursue a dream. Critics might say that there's greater need for consumer research and consumer testing before pursuing something like this. Your thoughts?
You know, my thought is that I was completely in that camp when I was a brand manager. I was a hard data guy. And the longer I remained in marketing, the more I became convinced that we can't actually measure the things that are important. So P&G in their headquarters, they have an actual retail store set up. They give consumers money, and the consumers spend it on things, some of which they know, some of which they've never seen before, that P&G is testing. The reality is it's still not their money, and it's still not a real situation. What I think that being your own consumer does is it gives you the instinct that you can't have in any other way. So I would love to say there's a way to test all this stuff, but I think we really don't know how to ask the right questions or how to get at what's actually important to consumers until the product's already on shelf.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes no matter how much you test something, and there were so many examples of testing that suggest something's not going to be successful, whether it's a ad campaign or a product, someone moves on with it anyway, and it's a huge success. So we're a big proponent of the way your book suggests entrepreneurs trust more your instincts than, you know, getting hung up with an over amount of data. You mentioned that you do in your book cite real-world examples, Craigslist founder. You mentioned Burt Bees, J. Peterman Company's another one, Cliff Bar, Columbia Sportswear, just to name a few. And real-world examples I think readers can really sink their teeth into and relate to the showcase examples that you give. Let's talk a little bit about the six rules, David, that you discuss in your book that all accidental marketers have to follow to be success. You say they include: do sweat the small stuff, pick a fight, be your own customer, be unnaturally persistent, build a myth, and finally be faithful. Let's take each one of these and go into a little bit more detail. And let's begin with do sweat the small stuff.
So the idea here is that in brand management, we're trained to pay a lot of attention to advertising, a lot of attention to packaging, and much less attention to what we consider smaller elements of the brand experience. Accidental branders, people who start their own business, sort of know intuitively that everything affects your brand. So if you see a wonderful ad for Delta or Northwest, since they're thinking about merging, and then you go to the ticket counter and you're treated rudely, or even the ticket counter experience goes great, but somebody loses your bag, then you've actually lost the value of all that advertising. So I really like to think about this as choreographing the entire brand experience and realizing that your employees, your suppliers, your vendors, everybody contributes to that. And that's what detail orientation is about here, not necessarily micromanagement.
Yeah, and how many of us have not experienced exactly what you describe, a great brand and a less than great experience? I think Starbucks is a great example. They're coming back from that. Then you wrote an interesting blog about that, David, and maybe we'll have time to talk about that next segment. You also say pick a fight, and I think this goes along the lines of just getting out of the mindset of the status quo, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it always frustrates me when I go to a grocery store and I see that there's literally 50 different kinds of toothpaste, and I don't really feel that many of them have anything to say or anything to contribute that's new. So if you pick a fight with a brand that exists and you know what you stand against, hopefully that means that you stand for something that's unique and different. And I think it also gives you the passion to continue through what's a difficult road towards entrepreneurial branding.
Yeah, and we touched on be your own customer, so we're going to go over and go on to the be unnaturally persistent. And I think any entrepreneur out there that's started their own organization knows that persistence is key. But you suggest that if you really want to build a brand, it's not a 3-4-5 year process.
Yeah, in fact, the quickest, best example I can give you is Roxanne Quimby, who started Burt's Bees with $400. She never took a bank loan. She never had investors. She never brought money in. That business took 20 years to grow, but when it did grow, she actually, in total, netted about almost $500 million from the sale, the eventual sale of Clorox.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
a great
product, too, you know. It's really a cool root product as well, and it's really done some cool stuff out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it really has. It's a very well-known brand, and you see it everywhere. It's not just in your health food stores as it maybe began. You also say, David, build a myth, and I think a lot of people don't really understand the idea between how a brand really does need to tell a story.
Let's hold on to that for just a moment, guys. We're going to take a break here. On the Advertising Show, Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, David Vinjamari out of Manhattan, author of Accidental Branding. Accidentalbranding.com is his website. And we'll talk more with David here in just a moment. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Burgess is a darn good battery.
In my hand, I have a Burgess battery, the darn good battery, and that other battery. Now, tell me what I am doing.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, and out of Manhattan, David Vinjamari, author of Accidental Branding. Brad, you had started to ask a question there, but we were so rudely interrupted by one of those commercial things. Can you believe that? No, not really.
Yeah, we're going to have to work on that. Anyway, yeah, build a myth, you say, a story really behind the brand, right, David?
Yeah, absolutely. This is like your elevator pitch, but you want it to be, it has to be true. But it's not everything that's the truth. It's a part of the truth that tells a story and imparts some brand values and a lesson there. So it's really your elevator pitch, but carefully thought out.
Yeah. And you finally round out the six rules in your research of these seven accidental marketers that you interviewed. As far as the success behind their success, you rounded out with being faithful, and you're not talking about a religion here. You're really talking about your customers, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's important that if you have a little success and, you know, Walmart or some other big opportunity comes knocking at your door, that you remember what the brand stands for and who sort of made the brand great, and that you stay true to what's important to them.
Yeah, and I want to move away from your book for a moment and take advantage of your great knowledge of both being CEO of your company as well as the educational angle of what you do. And by the way, Ray, I don't know if you found out, we're getting 3 college credits for today's interview. Just make note of that.
Really?
talk a little bit about how the two practices of marketing versus brand management can create a situation in which things that are affecting the brand aren't necessarily controlled by the brand.
Well, you know, I think there's a great example in the last week and a half or so, which is if you've been watching the news, you'll see that there's all these very strange videos coming out of Walmart, and what happened is a little company that they had a handshake deal with called Flagler Productions was responsible for taping all their internal meetings. And Walmart, I guess when they ended that relationship very recently, they apparently didn't do it in the best manner, because Flagler was unhappy enough that they decided that since the law allowed them to, or that's what they say anyway, that they are selling those videos, which include Walmart managers in drag, includes them making fun of sexual harassment and other situations. It's some really difficult stuff that, you know, you've all seen it at sales meetings, but it's not what you want to have out on the airwaves.
Yes, and it's the kind of thing that when you do see it on the news, it really gets your attention, and you remember it.
Can you say lawsuit?
Yeah, you can see how nobody thought this had anything to do with the brand, right? This is a vendor relationship. Yet, if it were one of these entrepreneurs, they would know that if you don't treat people well, it'll come back to you. I call it brand karma, right? But Walmart is thinking only about their costs, and they probably made this as a cost-based decision, but it's going to end up costing them more than they thought.
Yeah, and you have a blog I wanted to mention that you can, I guess they can reach you through accidentalbranding.com, but or you can just do a search for David and you'll find plenty online that he has talked about. But you talk about good disasters and how a company can turn a negative situation around to a favorable outcome. And you give JetBlue as an example, and we all remember JetBlue. I guess American Airlines hasn't been paying attention, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because it happens to every airline at some point is they really screw up in a very big public way.
Sure.
And JetBlue had all this situation about a little over a year ago where they canceled, just like American has recently, all these flights. But what JetBlue did that was different is they actually said, we're going to look back at this and we're going to learn from it. And they created a customer bill of rights, and they very clearly told their consumers what they could expect. Also, there was accountability. Actually, the founder ended up stepping down because of this. So there was a sense, if you were a JetBlue customer, that David Neeleman paid with his job, and that the airline learned from the lesson. And that's something that makes you, ironically, more faithful to a brand when they do that.
Yeah, and one final question as we let you go here. We mentioned the six rules that you discuss in your book that all accidental marketers have to follow to be successful. Let's talk about takeaways in our final question from accidental branding. David, if I could ask you for only one tip that could make or break the new upstart entrepreneur out there, what would it be?
It's do something that you feel passion for that solves a need that you actually have, because I think that that gives you the set of instincts that you need to actually succeed.
That was his elevator version of that. So that's very good, David. Thank you very much. What's wrong with simplicity? I like that. David, you've got a great book and a lot of great stuff in there as well. Congratulations on that. And go on, get the book, Accidental Branding. It's accidentalbranding.com. And David Vinciamari out of Manhattan, thank you for being here on The Advertising Show.
Thank you, Brad Ray.
We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
I love Bosco. It's rich in chocolate tea. Chocolate-flavored Bosco is mighty good.
David Vinciamari, a very special guest and a great guest, too, and a great book, author of Accidental Branding. Thanks to David for being on today's show. Brian Decker is up with us next. Carton Donofrio Partners, cartondonofrio.com. That'll be as we get into the merry month of May. But as long as we're still here in April, there is something really cool going on. As a matter of fact, it launched yesterday, as this has to do with George Lois, who is an industry icon, of course. The Museum of Modern Art in New York City launched yesterday a one-year exhibit on the cover work that he created for Esquire magazine. And what a great honor for George, and what a cool thing to be in the Museum of Modern Art with your stuff. I mean, okay, is that tantamount to, let's see, some great painters or something like that? And the answer is absolutely yes. Obviously, George, you've left your mark on this world, and it's for 1 year. So if you're in the New York area, it's the Museum of Modern Art. It's the cover work for Esquire magazine. Definitely worth seeing, because we know George already, right? Exactly.
Right, and first commercial artist, as I understood it to be, that was ever featured or has been ever featured in the Museum of Modern Art. So I wish we were up in that area, Ray. It would be a nice exhibit to see. So if you're lucky enough.
Well, we could take in the Letterman show and then go see the, you know, before that we'll go see the artwork. We have a year to do it. Right. We can save some money on tickets.
Is it there for a year? I didn't know that.
For a year, yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, great. Cool. Hey, and by the way, speaking of announcements, Ray, Captivate Network, we're going to be announcing a wonderful relationship with Captivate Network. For those that may not be familiar with the name, I'm sure you're familiar with the organization. They deliver their national news, entertainment, and advertising to more than 2.5 million viewers via the 8,200 wireless digital screens located in the elevators of premier office towers in 23 of North America's top markets. So if you're in an elevator in one of the prime buildings in one of those 23 markets, and you have you see the little screen there that has information on it that, as we mentioned, news, entertainment, et cetera, that's the company we're talking about, and we'll be telling you more about our relationship with Captivate in weeks to come.
Gene Bliss is up here on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, the customer experience, and it's called Patience and the Customer this time.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Becoming a customer company is a multi-year endeavor. This work is not for the mild-hearted or the quarterly inclined. Don't bail in the first year because the results don't come as simply and cleanly as seeing response rates on a marketing campaign, tracking sales goals, or the number of page views on your website. You need belief and commitment that this is the right course. The company needs to hear from your CEO that their ticker on proclaiming something a success or failure has a much longer timeline here. When things seem to waver, and they will, people will need to hear that the corporate patience exists to stay the course. We have been programmed to worry about lack of results in increments of quarters, and so people will be anxious unless timelines and expectations for results are reset. If the CEO doesn't personally commit to corporate patience, people will see right through it. They'll abandon efforts when their performance rating is at risk for staying focused on the customer stuff that's not yielding results quickly enough for the impatient corporate machine.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Always great information from Gene Bliss here at the Advertising Show, our customer experience type person, and patience and the customer today's feature. Hope you enjoyed it with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Like I said, I've got Brian Decker up next week. Brian is Vice President and Director of Media Services for Carton Donofrio Partners, and we will talk to Brian as we get into the month of May. Man, it's flying by, isn't it, Brad?
Wow. Oh, yeah. So. You know, Ray, I don't know if you heard about this. Fox News is looking to open a second front in the cable news wars by launching an initiative called Fox Fusion. I'm sure you're going to be hearing more about this. Fox Fusion will offer sponsors a streamlined system for buying inventory on the flagship channel and newcomer Fox Business News, as well as the Wall Street Journal and News Corp's other digital priorities. Essentially, Fox Fusion will allow Ray, clients to purchase time on the TV side of the business while operating new opportunities to appear on non-linear platforms. So, mm-hmm. Innovative idea from News Corp or Fox News, I should say, and be hearing more about that, I'm sure.
And when has Fox not been innovative, right, Brian?
That's true. That's true.
It's incredible. It's CNN has had to do a little catching up, if I might say so myself. But anyway, that's good. But we are just about out of time. By the way, The Advertising Show lives and breathes here at theadvertisingshow.com 24/7, 365. As a matter of fact, it goes back to 01 when we started the show. Sadly, back on the 13th of September of 2001. And it's been on radio stations all across the country. Obviously, now it's a global venture. And we invite you to tell your friends about it, theadvertisingshow.com. The cool part is these shows are all archived here at the site, and what you do is have an opportunity to go back and look at a topic or look at a special guest that we might have had, and it's got kind of a cool place. So tell your friends about the Advertising Show. And we've also got, as I said, Brian Decker, Vice President and Director of Media Services, coming up next week with Carton Donna Frio Partners. After that, Joe Pine, who is co-author of Authenticity, What Consumers Really Want. Wouldn't we all like to know that? So, hope you enjoyed the show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.